It's 6 days before the Passover. So Jesus is just about a week away before Judas ultimately betrays him. He's arrested. He goes through a mock trial under Pontius Pilate, suffers on the cross, and then rises again from the dead. Now the disciples should have known all of this. He told them multiple times that he'll be betrayed by evil men, that he will die at their hands and then be raised on the third day. It sounds like, it looks like, only Mary was listening. Because Jesus says that she's doing this to prepare him for his burial. It perplexes the other disciples. In fact, it angers some of them. But remember the context. It was just days, maybe even a few weeks before, that Jesus raises her brother, Lazarus, from the dead. He spends 4 days in the tomb, and Jesus comes and he says, "Lazarus, come out!" And he comes out. Jesus giving us a foretaste of his resurrection and a foretaste of his death. We know from this reading that they were throwing Jesus a thank you party with this meal. This is what was for him in thanksgiving for raising their brother, Mary and Martha's brother. And so what Mary does is she takes a very large sum of money and she goes out and purchases a whole pound of nard. What's interesting about this nard is that it comes from the Himalayan region. Think Nepal. Think the Himalayan mountains. This high elevation where only these plants would grow. And so not only was it costly because of how unique of a plant it came from, but it was also a spice, or it was an oil that had traveled a great distance to get to where Mary purchased it. And she takes it, she purchases it in anticipation of Jesus' burial, where people would customarily anoint a body after they put it in a tomb and then seal it up. You'll remember the story of Lazarus. Do you remember? They're about to roll away the stone, and Martha says, "No, Jesus, it's been 4 days. It's going to stink." And so maybe Mary is thinking ahead of time. She's being proactive to say, "Well, I don't know how long Jesus will be in the tomb, but I'm going to make sure that it is a fragrant aroma when he leaves that tomb." We don't know exactly. But we see Judas's objection, and he is a phony. He says, "You should have sold this for 300 denarii and given it to the poor," which gives us a kind of understanding of how much at least Judas thought it was worth. 300 denarii would be 300 days' wages. That's like a whole year of wages. If you calculate about $18 an hour for 300 days, full days of work, that's $64,000 that this would have been worth. This lavish, extravagant gift was a sacrifice that Mary made monetarily for her Savior Jesus in anticipation of what he had not yet done, but said that he was going to do. This is truly sacrificial giving. And it points back to the Old Testament, because the people of God were also told to give these sacrifices of thanksgiving, where they gave incense and burned it on the altar, on the censer. And in the Old Testament, it says that when that smoke reached God's anthropomorphic nostrils, it was a sweet aroma to him, and accepted this gift of thanksgiving. And so this fragrance that was put on Jesus' feet filled the whole room. So Jesus wasn't the only one who benefited from this, but all the disciples would have felt that wafting fragrance enter their nostrils. Jesus responds to Judas' objection. He knows he's a phony. And he says, you'll always have the poor with you, but you won't always have me. Now let's not misunderstand this. God cares about the poor. Jesus tells us that at the end of the age, the sheep and the goats, they'll be told, and then they'll be judged by how they treated the vulnerable among us. But now is not the time. It's very similar to when Jesus was criticized for his disciples not fasting, like John's disciples were fasting. And Jesus says, while you have the bridegroom, you don't fast. But when the bridegroom is far off and you're missing him, that's the time you fast. So Christians fast today because our bridegroom is with us, he's in our hearts, but he also is the bridegroom to come. And so in the meantime, now, yes, we remember the poor. Remember, the Apostle Paul was told and admonished by the early church to remember the poor, and he responded by saying, the very thing I intend and love to do. This is the time, Jesus says, to prepare for his death. And it seems like Mary was unique in being prepared. She was financially prepared. She was worshipfully prepared for this death and this burial. Her grief was already at the last stage of grief. Did you notice? And that is acceptance. A lot of the disciples were in denial of what was about to happen. But Mary throws herself upon Jesus' feet with this ointment, with this nard, and cleanses and washes his feet with this very expensive perfume. And then she does something that would make the disciples, and I think you and me, blush. She takes out her hair, and she takes her hair and she rubs it all over his feet. Now, this is kind of a PG-13 moment. It's very suggestive if you think about it. It's very intimate. Now, Mary was a woman, but we all are the bride of Christ. We're all betrothed to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what she's doing is something that you would only imagine that would happen between a husband and a wife in the intimate moments that they might have. And she has this, I don't think just for herself. I think she has this to show us the way. And notice what she's doing. She's taking the fragrance that is on Jesus and putting it on herself. Now, do many of you, do you have any cats or dogs at home? Have you ever seen pets do this? My cats do this all the time. They rub up against you. They put their scent on you. And they're saying, I love you. I want my scent to be on you. And actually, almost all mammals do this. Wild animals do this, especially with their babes, their little ones. And if they lose that scent, I've heard that rabbits are like this. If the little bunnies lose the scent of their mothers, the mothers do not recognize them. That's why you should be careful not to handle wildlife, especially the little ones. And so what Mary is doing here is kind of taking Jesus' scent, as it were, and putting it on herself. She's uniting herself with his death. She's doing it because she believes that he is going imminently to the cross. And through the grave, like her brother Lazarus, to the resurrection. She's participating in his work of salvation. And that's what it means to be the bride of Christ, and that's what it means to be a child of God. That we are united in a death like his, and so we will be united in a resurrection like his. We will bear the aroma of the Christ upon us. And think about what the word Christ means. It means anointed one, the christened one. He's the one who had oil as a king, broken and saturating his head as the Christ. And Mary puts anoints his feet. And now she is anointing her head with that same anointment. And that's who we are. We are Christians. We are the little anointed ones in Christ, bearing the scent of our Savior, the sweet aroma of forgiveness and eternal life. In just a few moments, our First Communion, young people will come here with their families to celebrate their first time receiving the body and blood and the bread and wine of Jesus. But we all have that wafting and that aroma of wine and bread coming into our nostrils. We taste it and we see that the Lord is good. It bears witness that we are children of God, that we are Christ's anointed ones. And we celebrate this meal just like that meal where Mary broke that nard over Jesus' feet. We're also here to celebrate Jesus and his triumph over death, just like they were celebrating Lazarus' triumph over death. And even better than that, we get to bear witness this multi-sensory salvation that we have in Christ. Even with our noses, get to bear witness to the sweet aroma of forgiveness and eternal life. In the name of Jesus, amen.